Scripture says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. In other words, the Lord God from heaven, God Almighty, the Creator of all things, walked this earth, and His name, His earthly name was Jesus. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet He is God manifest in the flesh. Men did not know Him when He came, nor do many people know Him now. They speak of Him as Jesus now, and they spoke of Him as Jesus then. In Luke chapter 3, it says that Jesus began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. They supposed that He was the son of Joseph, and they thought He was merely the son of a woman named Mary. But Scripture said, He is the eternal Son of the Most High God, without beginning of days or end of day. He is God, in whom we live and move and have our being. He is God that giveth life. Mary did not give Him life. No, God gave Mary life. Jesus Christ, actually, was the father of the woman who bore Him. What a mystery it is. Nevertheless, it is true. Well, He came to Nazareth in chapter 4 of Luke's gospel. He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up. And it was His custom, the custom of the Jews back then, that a young man would stand up in his hometown when he reached the age of 30 years old, and he would read the Scripture. And in Luke 4, verse 17, it was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he opened the book and found the place, chapter 61, and he began to read from it. Now stop right there. They gave him the book to read. Had they known, had they really known who it was that stood before them, this is the author and finisher of the faith. This is God who wrote the book. This is His book. And yet they delivered unto Him the book. He didn't need a copy of the book. He is the book. Did you know that all Scriptures pertain to the Lord Jesus Christ? This is, as it were, the autobiography of our God, of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. Scripture says Christ is all and in all. All the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 1, He's the Creator. He's the light of the world. Chapter 3, He's the woman's seed. In Exodus, He's the Passover lamb. Leviticus, He's the great atonement. Numbers, He's the brazen serpent. And in Deuteronomy, He's the city of refuge. Joshua, He's the scarlet lion in Rahab's window. Judges, the angel of the Lord. Ruth, He's the kinsman redeemer. Samuel, He's the sweet psalmist of Israel. He's the covenant head. And Solomon, that is Kings, He's a greater than Solomon. A greater than Solomon. And on it goes. It all speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, He stood up to read in His hometown of Nazareth, and He opened the place in Isaiah 61, and He read, and I quote, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." End of quote. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Isaiah wrote that, but he was speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said, "They are they which testify of me." Do you know what the name Christ means? It means the Anointed One. When he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me," that means he is the Christ. No mere mortal man can say that I have the Anointed. Whenever you hear a man or a woman stand up and say, "I have the Anointing," reject them. Run from that place. That person is Antichrist. They are stealing the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Isaiah didn't write that of himself. He wrote it of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ means anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descended upon the Lord Jesus Christ at His baptism to testify to all that this is the Christ, the Anointed One. And He said, He sent me to preach the gospel to the poor. Oh, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And our Lord Jesus Christ came to preach the gospel to the poor. The first thing He said, the first public message He brought was the Sermon on the Mount. And He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. He sent me to preach the gospel to the poor, Christ said. The poor. Christ is riches for the poor. Those who have nothing, can do nothing, know nothing. He's the riches of faith, of wisdom, of righteousness, of sanctification, of redemption. Christ is food for the hungry, water for the thirsty, righteousness for the unrighteous, mercy for the guilty. He's an advocate for those who can't afford one. He's the remitter of sin, the redeemer for sinners. He said He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That is, brokenhearted over sin. The second thing our Lord said on His Sermon on the Mount was, blessed are they that mourn. Mourn over sin. They shall be comforted. Oh, woe is me, I am undone, Isaiah said. Oh, wretched man that I am, Paul said. But there's good news for the mourning sinner. Good news. Our Lord said after He read this, this day is the Scripture fulfilled in your ear. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal the brokenhearted. He says He sent me to preach deliverance to the captive. You know that all men and women and young people are held captive by the God of this world? And unless a stronger than He binds him and spoils his goods, they will remain captive. Yes, Christ came to lead captivity captive. That is, deliver His people from the captivity to the God of this world. You can't deliver yourself. You can't make a decision and do that. No, Christ must bind the strong man and take what is his. And He did, and He done. He said, He has sent me to recover sight to the blind. Recover sight to the blind. One time, our Lord healed a blind man by taking something from his mouth, the saliva, the spittle from his mouth. He took it and made clay and anointed that man's eyes. And he saw after that. Well, that's exactly how the Lord gives us sight. We're all born blind, blind to who God is, blind to what we are, blind to the truth, blind to this world, blind to the God of this world, blind to the traps, the pits, the snares, all the temptations of the God of this world. But God, through His Word, He takes from the Word, from the words of His mouth and opens blind eyes. Christ went on to say, He has sent me to set at liberty them that are bruised. There's an old song we sing, come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore, wounded, bruised by the fall. Jesus Christ came to set at liberty them that are bruised and beaten and mangled by the fall. He sent me, Christ said, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. The gospel is being preached. This is a time when God is accepting sinners. No, He doesn't ask us to accept Him. We're not up. He's not up for acceptance or rejection. We are. We're the ones need accepting. And Ephesians 1:6 says we're only accepted in the Beloved. Well, this is the time. This is the year. This is the day when God is accepting all applications for mercy. Ask, call, seek, knock. You will be accepted. And He closed the book, and He gave it to the minister, and he sat down, the Scripture said. And everyone looked at Him, and they began to say, what gracious words these are. Is not this Joseph's son? Is not this Joseph's son? Our Lord said, this day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears, as every other Scripture is fulfilled in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said, went on to say to them, you will surely say, physician, heal thyself. You'll say, what we've heard done in Capernaum, do here. They wanted to see some signs, some miracles, some wonders. Oh, they heard His gracious words, but apparently they weren't sinners in need of mercy. They weren't poor in need of the gospel. How about you? Our Lord went on to say something to them that caused them anger and wrath. They at first wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of His mouth. They said, these are gracious words. Doesn't He speak wonderfully? Doesn't He speak beautifully? What gracious words. He's a good speaker. What a pleasant man. And then He began to say something that turned this synagogue of pretended worshipers into an angry mob wanting to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what He said. He said, I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, great famine throughout the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. In other words, our Lord said, when Elijah was prophet on this earth, God sent him to one woman, not a Jew, but a Gentile, one woman, and he lived with her for over a year, and God fed her and sustained her, one widow woman, a Gentile, no Jews. God chose this one woman. And then our Lord went on to say this in verse 27. I read. He said, many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet. Lepers. None of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. In other words, our Lord said, when Elisha, the prophet that succeeded Elijah, when he was preaching, God had him speak to and reveal the Lord God, and God saved one man named Naaman, a leper, not a Jew, but a Gentile. And it says in verse 28, all in the synagogue heard this, and they were filled with wrath. They were angry. They rose up, thrust him out of the city. They led him to the brow of the hill whereupon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. And he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. And they were trying to kill the Lord Jesus Christ for what He said. Why? What did He say? What He said was, salvation is of the Lord. That salvation is by the sovereign electing grace of God. It's God's will, not man. God's choice, not man. That God will save whom He will. This is the truth that angered this mob. God, in His sovereign electing grace and mercy, He has a right to save whom He will, and that's exactly what He does. This is the truth. And they hated it. What about you? What about you? He chose His disciples. In Mark's Gospel, it says He went up into a high mountain and called unto Him whom He would, and they came to Him. Same today. He saves whom He will. Salvation is not your choice, it's His. Salvation is not you electing Him, it's Him electing you. Salvation is by the will of God, not the will of man. Salvation is for the glory of God, not man. He won't share His glory with another. It's His choice, His will, His power, His work, His Son, His blood, His righteousness, not yours. What do you think about that? Well, it's the truth. Well, this crowd wanted to kill Him for saying that. They went from saying what gracious word to hated word. Oh, if you don't love the truth, God will pass you by too. I pray He will reveal Himself to you. Amen.